Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. It's Saturday, and today we're going to talk about giving up.
I'm glad you said it was Saturday. You cue me to the day.
I know. I'm working on it. I'm trying.
This is pretend Saturday.
It's pretend
this
Saturday.
This is ersatz Saturday.
Because it's really Friday.
It's really Friday.
But this is going to go out on Saturday.
But I'm
Saturday.
Glad you told me it was Saturday.
Yeah.
Keeps me
focused. When this podcast posts...
When we go to the Philippines, I'm going to be so confused. You're going to have to put little tags on me.
You're like, wait, is this a
recording
day?
What day is it? Is it morning or night? What day is it?
That's right. I'm looking at
this.
Is
there, what, 11 hours, 10 hours different?
12. I was looking at the flights this morning because we're arranging all that later this morning.
You leave on Tuesday and come back on Friday.
28-hour flight.
Right.
Oh. 32-hour flight back.
I'm going to have to gird my loins for that one.
Your hips are going to have
to... It's hard to sit still that long.
Mm-hmm.
You're not... No, nobody can.
No, I'm going to watch movies.
But you're going to go first class, so that makes a big difference.
Right. That's me.
Okay.
I'm a first-class kind of guy. But
when
this podcast posts, my kids and I will be running in a 5K tomorrow morning.
So. And I'll be revising our book.
Hopefully.
I told you, December, the challenge has been set. I'm serious.
You said it.
I said you heard it first here.
But today we're going to talk about giving up. But not giving up on these things. Giving up... I like this little twist on giving up.
Well, this was interesting. It was an interesting find.
Yeah.
Because we had been doing a series on success,
right,
and what it takes to be successful and what success is.
Right.
How do you define success? And so here we stumble on this article. We didn't actually stumble on it. We were searching for things like this.
Yeah.
And found this one, which was very good.
Yeah.
And we have these four guys who are trying to be us pictured at the front. But,
that's right.
You know.
It's just, actors like Tobey Maguire and Leonardo DiCaprio. And
Leonardo
those
wants
guys.
To be me.
Yeah. Well, so this is an article entitled 16 Things Your Successful Friends Have Given Up. And
right.
It's written by Tim Denning, and it's mm-hmm. posted in Medium. And then,
right.
One of our new favorite resources.
Nice organization. They're doing good things.
But what this article talks about, which we think fits very well mm-hmm. as we're beginning that transition into the new year.
Right.
These are 16 things that successful people give up on.
Right.
And so we thought that we would talk about that a little bit because some of them are really, really good
right.
and thoughtful.
And before we launch, we talk about who are the successful people. You know, when they talk about successful people, because
right.
it brings us back to one of the podcasts we did about how do you define success.
Right.
And you remember we talked about growth, that
mm-hmm.
success is growth. There's no, you have to keep pursuing. We talked about the apprenticeship
mm-hmm.
model and that an apprentice continues to learn throughout
mm-hmm.
his or her lifetime. And so success here, I don't know how others define success, but we know that, remember we did that podcast and said that you think that by publishing this book, you will feel good, by having this movie, by buying this car or
mm-hmm.
moving into
mm-hmm.
this neighborhood. And those
yeah.
things never make you feel successful. It always feels like, oh, okay, I've done it. Now what?
Right.
And that's the growth idea that we were
right.
talking about. There's always something more that you should be
mm-hmm.
striving. You should be moving forward. And so they don't mention this in this article, but as you read this, as you read this, and I would encourage people to read this,
yeah.
and I want them to do something with it. I was thinking about this. We have a little homework activity today.
Oh, you got okay? homework today.
We have homework today. Because as you're reading this, think about how you define success.
Right.
Okay? And keep in mind that you might achieve something, but it never is quite fulfilling
right.
because fulfillment comes from continued growth.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important point because people, we all define success
mm-hmm.
differently.
Right, that's
and the,
right.
And the way in which you define success is going to dictate the direction that you go, the decisions that you make. And
correct.
I think that we really need to take a pause and think about what you want to...
Right.
how you want to define success and what it means when
mm-hmm.
you are successful.
Right.
Right. So that's a great beginning activity.
Right.
A pre-podcast activity.
And I don't know what... He doesn't say why he... He has 16. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give any reason why there are 16 or, you know, were there other contenders?
I would have either, stuck with 15 or gone up to 20.
Okay. Well, that's part of the homework activity.
Yeah. What are the other ones that you would do?
Well, how many... When, you know, you went through these 16.
Yeah.
How many were important to you?
Several.
Right.
I didn't count how many were important, but...
Well, I went through them the first time and I read them all. Mm-hmm. Then I set it aside for a few days. Then I went through it again and I said, okay, which ones hit a responsive chord in me? You know, which one of these things? And I narrowed it to 10.
Yeah.
Okay. But then the harder activity would be of the 16 or of your list, like if you choose 10 or 8 or 6, what's the most important?
Yeah.
And that's it. That was the challenge.
That was the challenge.
Let's go through and see which ones are important.
Well, the first thing I have to mention is that in the second paragraph of the article, he mentions young Skywalker.
I thought you would skip that or not see it or something. As soon as I said, "Oh, this is going to come up."
Last night we had the opportunity to watch The Last Jedi.
Right.
I will not say anything here except
no spoilers.
You have to watch it. That's all I'm going to say.
Can I go this week? It'll be crowded this weekend.
Yeah. I'm going to
see
it again.
I wasn't invited to go last time.
I'm going to see it again.
But, you know.
He says that. But So, let's go through these. So, number one is they've given up on believing they can't change the world.
Right. Mm-hmm.
This goes right along with some of the stuff we talked about last week.
Does.
Because everyone can change the world. Your world... You know, you may not have that big of an impact in China,
right?
But
you don't have
you
to
can
be,
change the world in which you live.
You don't have to be Elon Musk. You don't have to be Bill Gates.
Right.
Okay. They're not asking that. Define your world.
Right.
And change it. Make it better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the people who are successful tend to recognize that. They tend to recognize that their actions have a direct impact on the world in which they live.
Be good enough that you can influence.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Number two is they've given up on luck.
That's on my list.
That's on your list.
I don't believe in luck.
And the quote here from Oprah.
Well, she borrowed from somebody else.
Luck is a matter of preparation meeting opportunity.
Right. I think Edison said that initially.
Yeah.
Or one of them, Ford or Edison or somebody, said it's persistence. You know, it's preparation. You prepare yourself to be lucky.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I do believe in that. Just forget about luck.
Yeah.
Go out and prepare.
Because what does luck mean?
Right.
Luck means that it just so happens. It just happens by circumstance and we talked last week about...
You did. You mentioned that, about locus of control.
About locus of control.
That's right.
You know, luck is the epitome of something good happening that you have no control over, so it's an external locus of control. Somebody else, something else, something in the universe created this opportunity for you, and so you were lucky.
That's right. And luck is something that happens in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And we know what happens in Las Vegas.
Stays in Las Vegas.
Keep it in Las Vegas.
That's right.
There's no place in your life.
Yeah.
Forget about luck.
I didn't expect you to say that. Talk about Las Vegas. That's great. By giving up on luck, what you're basically saying is that any success that I generate, experience, is because I did it.
That's right. I worked hard for this.
Yeah.
You know, this is nothing. I wasn't lucky.
Yeah.
I worked hard for this.
Yeah.
You know, I knew a guy years ago. He was a few years older than we were in high school, and he was, you know, puttering around doing some things, and came from a very low blue collar background, and he liked horses. So he went out and bought a bunch of land, for his horses, and was raising and very happy, you know, doing his little menial job. All of a sudden, they put an interstate through his land, and you say, well, he was lucky. But he bought the land.
Right.
Okay, that wasn't luck that he bought the land.
Yeah.
He didn't buy it as an investment. It just happened that way. But had he not taken that step, he wouldn't have been lucky.
Right.
But it's not luck. He was prepared.
When it comes down to it, you know, anything that we think of as luck, you can trace it back to a decision that you made that put you in that situation.
Right.
And had you not made that decision, it wouldn't have happened. And so you had control over that.
That's right.
And you may not have known that it was going to happen.
That's
you may
right.
not have anticipated it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you put yourself in a position where that opportunity could manifest.
That's right.
And I think that that's something that we talk to patients about a lot,
mm-hmm.
that we tend to be too passive with things. We don't take the initiative. We don't
That's right.
put ourselves in situations that, where we can find success or find opportunities. Instead, we sit back and wait for those opportunities to find us. And then we're, you know, upset and depressed and distressed about the fact that our life isn't accomplishing what it needs to accomplish. And you know, sometimes you just got to get out there.
Yeah, you wait for your ship to come in.
Yeah.
First, we're going to send your ship out.
Right.
You know, before it comes in.
Exactly. So. Exactly.
No, but I like that one a lot. That was on my list. And this one was on my list, too.
Number three says, they've given up on numbing pain.
That's right.
All right. So think about what that means. Mm-hmm. They're not numbing the pain. They are experiencing the pain.
That's right. And they're not taking anything that will numb the pain.
Right.
The pain becomes, and what we're talking about here is emotional pain.
Right.
And using drugs and alcohol and other things
right.
to numb the pain.
Right.
Now, the pain is instructive,
mm-hmm.
and they use it for personal gain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they take those failures and they push through and learn from it.
Right. That's right.
Because failure is the best lesson.
Disappointment, failure, falling short,
yeah.
all those things teach us how to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So don't resort to
right.
other things.
Number four, they've given up on negative people.
This wasn't on my list.
No?
I don't have any negative people in my life.
No?
I've gotten rid of all of them. I've given up on all of them. You don't have any negative people. You really don't.
I try not to.
No, you don't. You're the guy you coach with.
Yeah.
Very positive.
Yeah.
Very future, very growth oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you do is you have positive people around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you try to. Because the idea here, I think, is that you know, and this is how we talked about this with our Christmas special.
Did
that
we
makes
do
it sound, that makes it sound like...
Wait, I wasn't invited.
It was a claymation Christmas special with Rudolph and everybody. No, we did that about surviving the holidays. And we said
right.
there are two types of people in your world. Those that mm-hmm. lift you and encourage you and energize you, and then those right. who drain you and really zap all of your...
Death eaters.
Energy. Yeah, yeah.
Like death eaters, they suck the life out of you.
Yeah, Dementors.
That's it, Dementors.
Yeah, Death Eaters were the wizards that followed Voldemort.
What are they called? Dementors.
Dementors.
They're the ones that suck everything out mm-hmm. of you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dementors.
They suck the happiness out of you.
Right.
That's okay.
That's a great, but that mm-hmm. was a great character that she included
Absolutely.
In those stories, because that's exactly what negative people do.
Yeah.
Is they suck all the enthusiasm. And for people who are growth oriented
right.
and you want to keep going and you want to keep your energy and you want to keep your enthusiasm, you want to keep your optimism, anything that interferes with that,
mm-hmm.
you get rid of.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have to limit. Now, you can't always limit, because sometimes those people are family members.
Well,
but,
right.
But you can expose yourself in controlled settings, in amounts,
that's
and
right.
at times when you can handle it, and then you can recover and get back to it.
That's right. You can minimize the effect.
Right.
They don't have to overwhelm
right.
what you're doing.
Right, right.
right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, number five is they've given
yes.
up on time wasting.
Wow.
Yeah. You have... Well, we were talking about this the other day. I walked into Richard's office the other day, and he goes, Bernie, I got a question. Have you figured out how to add more than to have more than just 168 hours in a week?
That's right. I wanted you to figure that out for me.
Yeah,
it's a physics problem.
It is a physics problem,
right?
And it's an unsolvable problem,
right.
I believe.
Yeah, we have 168 hours,
right?
And there just aren't enough hours in the week.
Right.
You and I have said many times. Tomorrow morning, you're going to run that 5K
right.
in the morning at a golf course.
Right.
Every time you go by a golf course, don't you think, how do those guys have time to play golf?
Well,
where do they get 3 or 4 hours
yeah.
a week to play golf?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Could you do that?
Not now.
No.
Not
no.
now, no.
No,
no. And I think
you know
certainly certainly there are those who play golf and do those things who need to do it because that's a stress relief and that's a relaxation thing. But at the same time, there are those who either play golf or they do different things, and it's really a complete waste of time. They're just, I think about it with sometimes with watching TV. Now, we've talked before about the difference between watching a program and watching TV.
Correct.
Watching a program makes sense. You're watching something, you're watching a specific something, and when that specific something is over, you can transition to start doing something else.
Right.
When you're watching TV, you tend to just flip through the channels, you're surfing through the channels to find something that will suffice.
And it's called least objectionable programming.
Right.
You know,
right.
You'll watch what's least objectionable. Not because you want to.
Because this is what people do. You're clicking. I'm saying clicking for you because, you know, they used to be called
clickers.
How else
do you do it?
Let's see. So you're changing the channel and you find something. You're like, oh, remember that's on channel, you know, 372. But you keep going to see if there's anything better than 372.
I can only get to 65.
Yeah? Well, see, I don't have cable at all. So I just watch Netflix. One up you.
Can I have a sip of coffee?
You can't have a sip of coffee.
It's okay to do this on the show.
Yeah.
I need some coffee.
I've been drinking coffee.
Is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I forgot.
It's not whiskey.
There's another one. No. it's early Saturday morning. No, there's another one that goes along with time wasting.
Yeah, yeah.
That we want to get to.
Right, right.
Pick on golf because at least golf might be relaxing.
Okay? Right.
What we're talking about is, you know, TV watching or, you know, how about Facebook? How about time? People tell
sometimes.
Me that I'm not a Facebook person. I didn't reword that. I don't
He
use
says
Facebook.
That and then wait just a little bit. He'll say, he won't let me have a Twitter.
Well, Twitter's different.
When you can explain to me the difference, then you can have a Twitter.
So I won't have a Twitter. But people tell me that. I remember a friend of mine, she was reluctant to get Facebook, finally did, and she said, oh my gosh. She said, I sat there for 4 hours the other night and didn't even realize it because it takes you to all these different places, and she was looking up schoolmates. Mm-hmm. And she said, now I understand why people spend so much time on Facebook. But it really is, I think for many people, a waste of time. You're not learning anything. You're not doing anything. You're not becoming anything more.
Right. Number six, they've given up only consuming. And I love this line that he has. They spend as much time as possible doing the doing instead of sitting there watching others have the success they've always dreamt of.
And to me, this goes with wasting time.
Right.
My first thought when I read number six was, this is what I'm trying to tell all of our patients who spend 5 or 6 hours a day playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're consuming.
Right.
But you're not doing.
Right.
Okay. You're not doing anything. You're not exercising. You're not creating. Now, they say creating. You don't have to create something, but you have to do more than just consume products.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and like he says here, as a rule of thumb, spend more than 50% of your time creating and leave the rest of the time for consuming.
That's right. If you want to play video games I would liken video games to golf. If it relaxes you or you play with your kids, like you and your son play video games. My kids don't let me play with them because of reaction time and things like that. But no, my kids aren't, they don't play video games because it's mostly boys who play video games.
Mostly.
Yeah. And so my girls, they don't play video games.
Number seven.
Yes.
They've given up selfishness.
I like this one too. This was on my list.
It was?
Mm-hmm.
So another one on your list.
Yep.
So your successful friends tend to be more selfless.
That's right.
So they what they're doing is, and I love the idea of while you're creating, while you're spending your time creating and doing things, you're not just doing things just for yourself. You're doing things for others.
That's right.
And that brings a level of satisfaction, a feeling of success at a different level than what you would get otherwise.
My sister's visiting, and she's going to be moving here, and she got involved in a church, and she's tutoring after school for pro bono. You know, she just meets these kids, and she tutors for a few days a week. And they had this Christmas activity, and so she asked if we would volunteer, my daughter, a college student, and I, and some of her friends. And it was a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And we went down and worked on these, putting trees together and decorating trees and putting presents out for kids. And it was interesting for me to watch because you don't I don't typically see that sort of giving.
Right.
And that's what these people were doing. And I knew some of them. And I saw people I knew, and they were, you know, volunteering to participate in this, giving something to somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
And it was nice to see children there, because I thought, what a nice lesson for kids to be brought up in a family where this is part of your Christmas, doing something for somebody else.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Number eight, they've given up wasting their money. And if you...
And not only wasting it, but they also give it to others. They share it with others.
Right.
Okay.
So what they're doing is they're being frugal, certainly, but they're not wasting money, spending money, putting money in things that aren't motivating them or pushing them in the direction towards their success.
That's right. Mm-hmm. It's a resource. Money is a resource, so you don't waste it.
Right.
Like you don't waste any resource. Exactly.
Time and
money to
me
are the same. You know, they're resources. So you have to save it, because you never know when you're going to might need some. But you also share it with others.
Right.
You know, you don't waste it. Gosh, we're guilty of that.
Yeah.
So many of us have some excess income.
Right.
And so be careful. It's a resource to be taken care of.
Number nine. They've given up on not believing in people.
I wasn't sure, but this one didn't make my list.
No?
No. I don't know why.
I do like this one because I'm a pretty optimistic person.
Right.
I tend to hold people in the best possible light until they demonstrate repeatedly otherwise. So I like the idea that, you know, that you can depend on people, that people can surprise you and come through when you may not even expect them to.
Right. But we hear people today saying, oh my gosh, I called and I got taken care of right away.
Yeah.
And I was so surprised. It's a surprise when, you know.
Exactly.
I guess I haven't stopped believing in people.
I had a recent experience with that. And you know, I called a customer service about a piece of technology that I had that was broken, and they said, hey, you can go to this place, this local place, and you can have them change it out. They shouldn't charge you anything, but they should just be able to fix it right there. I went there, and they were like, oh, it's going to be $250 or $300 or something. And it's like, what? So I brought the technology back. I got in touch with them again, and they were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Send it to us. They sent me a box. I sent the device to them. And in less than 4 days, I mailed out my broken technology, and I got a brand new piece of technology back.
Right.
No cost. I didn't even have to pay for shipping. And they were just so helpful.
Right.
And it's like, it was out of warranty. It was several years old. Mm-hmm. But it was a manufacturer problem.
Uh-huh.
But there was no obligation in them from them to take care of it. But they did.
Right.
No. And you know, and certainly that's a company policy. It's a company thing, but you know, the people that you talk to when they're so pleasant and they're so helpful and they don't keep you on the phone for 30 minutes, I think I'm always happy with that.
I don't do a lot of stuff by phone because I get very frustrated with waiting and all that business. But I find when I deal directly with people, if you're nice to them, if you're pleasant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever had any problem with a rude salesperson or somebody, a waitress or a waiter. I've never encountered somebody that I've been offended by in face to face.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Number 10.
Yes, of course.
They've given up on negative thoughts.
Right.
Yeah. And he has a quote here from Tim Denning, which of course is himself.
I'm going to do that.
That's
a quote by Richard Marshall.
Tim Denning quotes Tim Denning.
Right.
World War III is not being fought on the battlefield like prior wars.
Right.
It's being fought in our own minds.
Right.
We tend, generally speaking, people tend to be so negative.
Right.
It's remarkable to me. And because we talk to a lot of people, you know, through our work, through some of the community things that we do, we talk to a lot of people, and it is amazing to me. And maybe this goes back to number nine with, you know, not giving up on people.
Right.
That the negativity that people express and seem to harbor about everything is really, man, it's challenging. when you hear people talk about stuff.
In your years, mm-hmm. do you ever remember a time when you felt optimism, either political or social, or that you felt, wow, this is energizing?
I feel like that a lot, yeah.
As a nation, because you don't feel it now.
As a nation with a right. with the like our government and everything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Not now. It's because there's so much conflict about everything.
I mean, right now we're in a very negative period. We've been in a negative right. period maybe for 12 years or so.
Yeah. Well, of course we're recording this podcast at a time when we have. I would have to think it's at least a record number of senators who are resigning because of. Right. Scandals and, mm-hmm. and, you know, all of these things coming out about these different people.
That, I mean, we have mass shootings and we have yeah. the sexual harassment and we have conflict among, mm-hmm. you know, that's playing itself out and it feels pessimistic.
Right.
Okay. I can remember, you know, there were times in these years, I think people were buoyed when Reagan was president. Mm-hmm. There was some enthusiasm.
Right.
Certainly John Kennedy
yeah.
brought, you know, the space, you right. know, and there were so many things that he started. And he brought enthusiasm. And I was wondering if you ever felt that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that we felt it since Reagan or, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that in feeling it as, you know, sort of globally for the country, I think is different than feeling yeah. it personally.
No, I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, is it because right now, not just right now, and I'm not picking on the present administration because certainly much of this existed in the previous administration.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but we're going through kind of an anxious time.
Well, and think about what came out yesterday. Right, the FCC voted to get rid of net neutrality,
right.
and you think about the consequences of that, and the way in which that's going to affect so many people.
Right.
Now, of course, there's going to be lots of legal battles and everything about right. that, but you're right. I mean, when those kinds of things happen, it just has an impact on the overall mood mm-hmm. of the country.
And as you alluded to a little bit earlier, you have to be careful
mm-hmm.
that, you know, yesterday was the fifth anniversary of the Sandy Hook shootings, right?
right?
And you, wow, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's still affecting us.
Right.
And you have to be careful that the milieu, the, mm-hmm. the what's going on in the country generally
yeah.
doesn't affect you personally.
Right.
Okay? Because you have what you said, the personal versus the social.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, because you know there's lots of big things, and when we were on our way to Star Wars last night, just to mention Star Wars again, my kids were talking about the net neutrality thing, and you know my son was kind of freaking out a little bit, not freaking out, but he was like, you know, this is crazy, I can't believe this is going to happen, and we started talking about how, you know, let's read a little bit more because as you look at a few more things, you can see that there's a lot of senators against it. There's a lot of representatives against it. So there's going to be nothing is going into effect right now. It's just there's going to be legal battles and stuff like that. So it's a hassle. It's a complicated factor. But there's nothing to stress about right now.
That's right. That's right.
We gather as much information as we can, and then we proactively do something right. about it. And mm-hmm. and I think that to me is where the positivity remains in despite the negativity.
That's right. Let's wait and see. Okay, well, there's nothing we can do about it.
Let's gather information.
We gather information.
And then make decisions, you know, that there's next year are midterm elections.
Right.
And so we can make some decisions next year mm-hmm. in November that's going to, you know, correct some of the things sure. that have been maybe problematic for you. And, you know, on that bigger scale. And
yeah, start voting on issues rather than personalities.
Right.
You know.
Or party lines.
Yeah, or party, right. Yeah. I was so sad when this Alabama election occurred. And there was that large discussion about, it doesn't matter, I will only vote for a Republican. It doesn't matter who's on, it doesn't matter.
I'm just going to say it, I am so glad he lost.
Well, what bothers me about it is that I can remember a time when you voted for a person. And party was less important.
Right.
And people voted sometimes right. for Democrats, sometimes for Republican, because you compared the two individuals.
Right.
And until recently, that's how elections were determined was right. by individuals. You know, right. you tried to figure out which individual do I want to represent me.
Right.
Now, I don't care who it is,
yeah.
if it's a Republican, because I will only vote. The worst thing that could happen is you vote Democratic.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they were saying in Alabama.
Right.
You know, I'd rather vote for a horse.
Right.
I'd rather vote for a cow
right.
than for a Democrat.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people were talking about writing in Nick Saban.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean, he's got some good ideas about things, and he runs a good football team, but I don't know how he would do in
not
the Senate.
Sure, not sure that he'd volunteer for that mission.
Right.
right.
He would have to take a pay cut.
A big
a pay substantial cut. Pay cut.
Right.
Number 11.
This was on my list.
They've given up on BS. We're not allowed to say what BS stands for.
It means bad
for.
Stuff.
Okay. All right.
No,
he has a little star in the middle of a
what
word.
It means is meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he's talking about here. He said stuff yeah. that, and it's stuffed in his large, this is a pretty big file, mm-hmm. this one. But it's meaningless stuff.
Yeah.
You know, that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to, it goes back to wasting time, wasting money. You know, though we have to give up on those things. We have to leave behind those things that are distracting, are detracting, that just right. pull you away from the momentum and the energy that you're trying mm-hmm. to build
That's
to
right.
find your success. There's no reason to deal with that. And that could be people, that could be activities,
people.
That could be all kinds of different things.
Right.
You know, there's no reason
no.
to continue to waste your time with that stuff.
Absolutely. Just get it out of the way. You know, stop yeah. worrying about this stuff. Stop fretting about it. Just move it out of the way.
Right.
There's so many other things you need to be doing.
Right.
Get that stuff out of the way.
An activity that I like to do with patients when it comes to this kind of thing is, you know, basically the worst case right. scenario game, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, you're aggravated, you're angry, you're frustrated with what's happening at work.
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst case scenario? Like, right. if you lost your job tomorrow, what would be mm-hmm. the, what would you have
right.
to do? What would be the, and when you can, when you stop and deal with the initial panic,
right.
But you really think about it, you have options. You know, you can get 3 part-time jobs if you
right.
need to.
Right.
You can talk to people, you can get support, there's lots of things that you can do for mm-hmm. most of us. Yeah, now, granted, there are those who out there who don't have as many resources, and that's a very
situation.
Different situation.
Right.
But generally speaking, you know, if you are so unhappy with your job and you want to start a new business, but you have all that anxiety, you know, if the worst case scenario is that you lose your job tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
all right, what would be the next step? What would you do next?
Right. That's right.
Usually, it's a reasonable step.
Right.
It's something that you can do.
That's right.
And you're going to make it.
But, you know, we're going through a decision here. You know, mm-hmm. we're looking at making some changes in 2018.
Right.
You know, you and I here in this business. And you can't be driven by fear.
Right.
But you also can't be driven. When people talk about making a change, they think, well, this is my income today.
Mm-hmm.
If I make a change, I'm not going to be making. No,
right.
you're not. You're going to have to get back up there.
Right.
Okay. Chances are you're going to have to work your way back up there. But you have the possibility of exceeding that.
Right.
Okay. And that's what keeps you going. So
mm-hmm.
don't be driven by fear. Don't be driven by what doesn't matter. Take the next step.
It goes back to what was that quote? Don't plant a tree, plant an orchard.
Right.
You know, you can't do something for the immediate gratification.
Right.
You do something because it's going to benefit you in the long term.
That's right.
That long term growth.
Mm-hmm. We're going to plant some trees in December and January.
Absolutely. We are ready. The soil is fertile.
Soil is fertile.
Number 12, they've given up on being stuck in failure.
Of course.
Goes right along with it. And he quoted himself again here.
Right.
But failure is the cheap lesson in what's not going to make you successful.
Right. That's right.
Leave
it behind.
I like failure. I like the idea of taking a failure or what is perceived as a failure and figuring
mm-hmm.
out what did I learn from that? And what am I going to take from that to really, you know, boost myself the next time I try?
Failure is not an option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number 13, they've given up on being single.
I like this one.
Yeah?
The data is pretty clear that people who are in healthy relationships
right.
Live longer,
mm-hmm.
are healthier, do better in every way.
Right. Mm-hmm. It goes back to, you know, negative people. You know, you can be in a partnership, but if that partnership is with somebody who's really negative and drains you, you're going to really have a difficult time being successful.
If you're working hard, if you're constantly growing, if you're always in an apprenticeship role, which is what we hope people will do, it's wonderful to return to somebody who cares about you and about what you're doing.
Right.
So that makes it better.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Number 14, they've given up on wearing a mask. This one was on my list.
Was it?
Yeah. I like this one.
Why?
Because sometimes, many times, oftentimes, we try to be chameleons. We try to be different people at different times. We put on a mask. Okay, this is who I am here, and this is who I am there. Mm-hmm. And when you split yourself so many times, you aren't following a consistent path.
Right.
I mean, it would be impossible to do so.
Right.
And so you need to be consistent. You need to be the same person all the time. And stop putting on these masks that, you know, the mask for this person and then the mask for that person or the mask in this setting and that setting. Mm-hmm. No, you need to be true to you.
Right.
And be yourself.
What I liked about this one, and I was thinking about my children as I was, but I was thinking about me too. They're happy to be vulnerable. You have to be who you are. Certain people will not like you.
Right.
Certain people will avoid you. Certain people will say, you're not my cup of tea. That's okay.
Right.
Because the people who do stay with you are people you're going to want to be with.
Right.
Okay. Because eventually, if you're wearing your mask, eventually the mask is going to come off. Okay. So don't be afraid to be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Not everybody's going to like you, but that's okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I try to bring that into my therapy sessions too, because and a lot of therapists and psychologists and all they create these very rigid boundaries, and I think the boundaries are really important in our business and everything. But you know, I think that it's important to let our patients know that we experience bad things as well.
Sure.
So you know, I share with patients and parents and teenagers, you know, what happened with me when I first went to college, and how I, you know, dropped out of my first college and how, you know, it took me, you know, 3.5 years to get my AA degree at a community college before, you know, trying to move on from there.
Yeah. We talked about that one time, that our children only know us as successes.
Right.
You know, my kids, I don't know, they think I was born with this, you know, that they didn't see the preparation for this. They think, it's always, dad's just been successful at everything he's done. No, far from it.
Yeah, we have a picture of my son, Connor, bundled up in a blanket, you know, the little burrito blanket that we do, on the desk, and I'm patting him while I'm studying for graduate school.
Right.
But he doesn't remember that. You know, there's no memory of
And where things. You lived and what kind of, you know, now you live in a nice house and it's big and you got plenty of space. He didn't see. My kids never saw that third floor thing where we used to bang our heads on the roof.
You remember that place we used to live?
I did. That first one.
Yeah.
That was like a manger.
Oh, man. I think that Jesus may have been born there.
I was shocked.
We had to sweep the hay out. But we had to change. This is, sorry, folks, but I just want to tell the story. We had to change the, we had to do some plumbing work at the house the other day. And, you know,
I have no idea where this is.
So I had to change the toilet out of the house. And so I'm talking to Connor through it, my son. And I said, okay, so, you know, I'm talking about the wax ring and the, and he goes, I said, buddy, unless you really like doing this, I said, this is why it's important to go to school. So he goes, yeah, but you went to school and you know how to do all this stuff. And I go, that's because of, you know, stuff you don't.
Yeah, I mean, that he never saw.
That he never saw.
That's
like, you know, we had to.
They never saw build the preparation. That
shed that we lived in.
Yeah.
Run plumbing pipes and drill into the septic tank and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, well, that was a little bit revealing. There you go, folks.
No, I think it's helpful that you know, my kids think, oh, you were always like this. No. It took me a long time and a lot of work to get here.
Exactly. Yeah. Number 15, they've given up on people's opinion of them.
Love this one.
I do too.
My list.
Because, you know, he says a rat's and he uses A with two dollar signs. I love that. But yeah, you cannot allow yourself to be governed by what other people think of you.
No. It comes under that mask thing, you know, where
absolutely
this is who you are, and I know that certain people won't like me.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and she wanted to be he wanted to be an actor and an artist and creative, yeah. Mm-hmm. And but you know, his growing up, his family always told him that's stupid. You'll never make money with that. You know, you need to go to school to be mm-hmm. this, or you need to go. And of course, he did what his parents
what was
told
practical.
Him to do. And he's so unhappy.
Exactly.
You can't live your life as directed by someone else.
That's right. No matter who it is.
No matter. Mm-hmm. Right. No matter. And number 16, last but not least, they've given up on giving up.
That was on my list. Yeah. That one made my top 10.
I like it that he used that one for last. Right.
There's no reason to give up.
Grit.
There's no reason to give up.
Yeah.
You keep going.
Right.
Whatever it takes, whatever you have to do, you keep going.
Yeah. And this is we've talked about grit before, yeah. The persistence.
This is grit.
You know, when you have the commitment, when you have the determination, keep going.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. If it doesn't work the first time, try again. If it doesn't work the second time, try again.
Right.
Keep going. Keep pushing. If it's what you really want to be doing, you will find a way mm-hmm. to make it happen.
Right.
So don't give up. Even though you need to give all these other things.
Right.
But that's, you know.
But here you have these 16.
Yeah.
We always ask people to look in the show notes and mm-hmm. you'll find this. Where will they find it? On?
In our show notes.
I's and T's.
Yeah. I's and T's. Go ahead. Twitter.
iTunes.
That's
Twitter.
Right. Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh my. I thought I was going to be the internet.
No. iTunes.
iTunes.
Internet. YouTube.
That's right. It's on all the tubes and nets and
so
all
you
that
can
stuff.
Find. Read it. Look at the 16. Mm-hmm. What I did is I chose 10 that were particularly mm-hmm. meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And now what I'm going to do is say which are, and then I'm going to put them in order.
Right.
From most important mm-hmm. to, okay. And because I'm going to think more about this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It, what we'd love for you to do, should you so choose to mm-hmm. take on this task, we'd love for you to write in the show notes, not in the show notes, but in the comments, especially on YouTube, what are your 10 or 5 or however many?
Right. Or like which really one struck you the most?
Right.
You know, or what 3 struck you the most?
And what should be added?
Right.
Do you think that something else should be added to the list?
That's a good idea.
That would be, mm-hmm. We'd love to hear that. Mm-hmm. I certainly think that there's some things that could be added to the list.
Right. I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
So
that's why I say, why did he choose 16? It could have been 20.
Yeah.
Or he could. So yeah, if there are others that should be on the list, let us know.
We'd love to hear that. So you know, put those comments in the comments section on on YouTube. I don't think you can do that on iTunes, but you know what? You can do that on our blog at
mentalbreakdown.com.
So you can check it out there. Mm-hmm. So we'd love to hear that. That'd be awesome. So that's it. Make sure, speaking of all those things, make sure you're subscribing. You subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure that you follow us and subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play Music or wherever it is that you get the podcast. We'd love for you to write a review or rate us on iTunes or wherever you get our podcast. And again, we love the comments and everything in YouTube. Mm-hmm. Those are fantastic. We really love enjoying. We love interacting with you.
Right.
Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/TheMentalBreakdown. Right. That is a great way. If you have the means and you have the opportunity to support some of the work that we're doing here, we are, as you said, we are working to plant some trees for 2018. We have a lot of plans for some workshops and things that we want to do in the coming months. And we just need some support so that we can find time to get it done. We actually have some people that are interested in helping out. So we're trying to figure out how to recruit them. And your support will definitely help. So
we've been hearing more, getting more comments from people. Mm-hmm. And it really is helpful and enjoyable reading through the comments and getting people's feedback, positive and negative. They're both helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. So you don't have to edit anything. Just tell us what you think. Love to hear from you. And we will respond.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's it. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.